to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families from all over to help me unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome. With us today, we have Kristen from New York. Now, Kristen actually does not homeschool at the moment, but Kristen, you messaged me a couple weeks ago, and your story, I think, would really resonate with a lot of parents, either that are currently homeschooling and wondering if they made the right choice, or that might want to homeschool and are afraid to take that challenge. So welcome today. And I just want to thank you for sharing the story because it is so touching. And I know it's been like heart-wrenching for you. So I'm just going to hand you the mic and let you kind of explain what your situation is.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me too. So I have a son who's now 9, but when he was younger, I noticed a lot of things happening with him that I hate to use the word normal in air quotes, but I noticed things weren't heading in the direction that I thought they would. I noticed he was having a lot of behavioral issues. He was very impulsive. He had a lot of, even though he was very young, he had a lot of comprehension issues. So anyway, I just noticed that things weren't, you know, they just weren't right. So I felt very nervous about him going to school. His birthday is also in November. So it's November 18th. So it's that border, you know, where you have to figure out, do you send them early or do you hold them and send them a little later? So I did end up sending him when he was 4, but I was very, like, I really wanted to homeschool. I was, in my heart, I just knew that sending him wasn't right. I wasn't prepared. I'm very overprotective. I'm very helicopter mom. So in my heart, I did not want to send him. I wanted to homeschool him. And in my head, I thought, you know, if I did do that, I would probably only do it to like second grade. But then, you know, I wasn't very confident in myself either. I wasn't confident as a parent. You know, I was dealing with a lot of trying to figure out what was going on with him at the time, a lot of doctor's appointments going on. So long story short, I did find out, you know, he has ADHD, he has anxiety, he has separation anxiety, he also has tics. Fast forward, now diagnosed him with Tourette's. But at the time, you know, we were working through all that. So I wasn't confident. I you know, navigating what was going on with him was all very new to me. I wasn't, I've known about the diagnoses, but I wasn't familiar with them. First time mom, you know, I had a lot of people in my ear saying, you know, you have to send him to school. He needs to be around his peers. He needs to have that interaction, you know, like all the things when people try to talk you out of things, you know, I was hearing it all. Right. And it was coming from people I loved and people I trusted. And I was, like I said, I was not secure. I really think the journey of figuring out what was happening and advocating for him as things moved along really helped me become very confident. But at that time, I was not confident at all. I was like a fish out of water. The best way to explain it, fish out of water. That's how I felt. And nobody, you know, that was giving me what they thought was helpful advice about sending him. Right. They weren't familiar with what was going on with him either. You know, we were learning as we were going, like, you know, about his symptoms, what was going on, all this stuff. So,
and you definitely didn't want to make anything worse by keeping him home with you, you know, and you just don't know.
Yeah. And he has severe separation anxiety as well. So that was one of my biggest concerns about sending him as well. Like, how is this, you know, how is he going to adjust? He has very impulsive behaviors, still does, you know, he's still that's something that is constantly being worked on in school too, because, you know, he is in school. Behavior issues, self-advocating is huge. He has a hard time self-advocating. So that was another reason, you know, especially because he was four when we sent him, that I had a really hard time with. My biggest concern was when kids have a hard time, adults tend to get frustrated. And
Sure.
when they have 26 to 30 other children and they're getting frustrated, my biggest concern is if he can't express himself and they're getting frustrated with him, he's not going to know why. And that's the other thing. He's 9 years old and he still does not understand the concept of sarcasm. He can be very sarcastic, but he doesn't understand when people are being sarcastic. He doesn't understand tones. So, like, he's just starting to learn, like, you know, when parents give the look and your child knows that they're in trouble. My child does not understand the look. He doesn't understand, you know, the tone, the expression in your voice. I used to say to him, "Do I sound happy?" And he would be like, "I don't know."
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know,
Okay.
he doesn't understand those
That
different
gives like a
tones.
clearer picture to the
Yes.
parents that, you know, haven't dealt with this, that there is almost like a like you're from another planet type thing.
Yes,
Like, oh, I'm just
yes.
learning what all these people, you think of like Third Rock from the Sun, where they're learning about
Yes.
people's communication with each other.
Right.
But right, so was he in a mainstream classroom right
So
away?
that's the other thing. Yes. Okay. And because I'm such a helicopter parent, I had wrote a 4-page paper giving the teacher, like, this is what we see at home. This is how we deal with these things at home. Because another thing, too, I mean, for those that aren't familiar with ADHD, ADHD children thrive off of routine. They need routine, they need to know what to expect. They need consistency. That's something that I learned the hard way along the way. You know, so I wrote everything out. I sent in this paper. I'm like, this is what his tics present as. They come out when he's nervous, when he's scared, when he feels very overwhelmed, you know, this whole thing. So this was his first year of kindergarten because we did have him repeat because I was not confident in sending him to first grade. He wasn't ready. And if I'm being honest, he wasn't even ready to go to kindergarten that first year. But again, you know, I let the voices tell me that he was, when deep down I just knew he wasn't. So those are definitely some big regrets. But anyway, fast forward, like, you know, come that time in November when they sit you down for the one parent teacher conference that they have for the entire year. I will never forget this, probably as long as I have a memory. They sat three teachers around these little kindergarten tables and me on the other side. And they said to me, "There's nothing else that we can do for him here. You need to take him for further testing."
Wow, that's intimidating.
So this is when I started learning that the public school system is not what I thought it was. I just assumed that, you know, being naive, I mean, obviously, I went to public school, but I didn't understand how the inner workings work when your child needs extra help.
Yeah.
So I found out later down the road that they should have been testing him on their end, that there was a ton of resources that they could have been helping him with.
Wow.
I learned a lot the very hard way. So I kept finding these things out. I did take him for testing. That's when I found out that he did have ADHD and he was diagnosed with anxiety at the time. He had already been previously diagnosed with the Tourette's. So the school system, I went in and I asked for them to test on their end, which I found out the hard way they do not offer. You have to verbally ask them to test. Long story short, they do not want to pay for those tests to be done.
Well, that coincides with what a friend of mine that is a kindergarten and first grade teacher said. She said, if a parent asks for the test, it happens much quicker than when
Yes.
she'll just get kids plopped in her classroom anytime throughout the year. And they'll be from other countries. Some do not speak English. They are not evaluated for anything. They are just put in her classroom. She is not a special ed teacher. She's a mainstream teacher and usually doesn't even have an assistant, nothing. Sometimes she'll get a student teacher if there is one, but it's happenstance that would happen. And she's like, I need the parents to say, can you please test them? Because it just doesn't happen if I refer them. And that's so crazy because a lot of parents don't either want to know or they're blind to it because they don't have the experience. They think that's just the way my kid is. But the teachers are the ones that should be trained to look for signs. They see this age group all the time. They know what is developmentally acceptable for certain ages. It should be the teachers kind of pushing it along. That's why we send them to school, because we feel we're not equipped, right?
Yeah.
Here they are saying a teacher can't be the one to request the test.
The thing that really was heartbreaking to me down the line when I did find out that, you know, the school could test without me asking, the thing that was heart-wrenching was that out of the three teachers that, you know, sat me around this kindergarten table, two of them were parents. So, you know, and I understand that that's their job, but looking from a parent's perspective who is very unfamiliar and you're trying to navigate this unknown terrain, I feel like if it were me, I would say, listen, this is what you need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you need to ask for this.
Like, they should have called you in sooner than November into an office and sat down at a table like adults. Yes. And here you're going to a back to school night, just thinking you're getting some updated information.
Oh, I have another story.
Like, you have to change your whole way of life right now. And I can't imagine what that was like.
So I ended up, this was when he was still in kindergarten, I ended up seeking outside help. A friend of mine who had been through the same thing had told me that you can, which I had no clue, that you can get a parent-teacher advocate. So through my county, I ended up getting free resources to get a parent-teacher advocate. And this is such an intimidation factor, but I was finally able to get a meeting. This was before COVID. Everything was still in person. And they sat 9 teachers around a table to myself and my advocate on the other end.
Wow.
It was so intimidating. And they tried to talk me out of everything. I asked for, because I knew what at that point how he was struggling. I asked for a one-on-one aid. And I didn't know this till further down the line, but those are very difficult to get. But I remember one of them piped up, and she was from physical therapy, which I don't feel like it was her place to be the one to speak up about that. But she basically said that was not needed. Which is very ironic, because if we fast forward to the IEP, I did finally get an IEP 5 years later. Actually, just last week, I was finally able to get an IEP. One of the things that they had said in that IEP meeting was that he would benefit better from one-on-one.
Wow. Now, can you explain just what an IEP is quickly? Because I think it's more a New York thing, and people listening elsewhere, I'm not sure that it's countrywide.
So I believe it stands for Individual Educational
Plan.
Yes, plan. Yes. So I will kind of backtrack a little bit. At that intimidating meeting around the table, I asked for a 504 plan at the time. They would not give me one. They gave me what
is that the same as an IEP?
It's under an IEP. That's what I honestly, like, I'm still learning all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
but the 504 is less, what's the word?
Strict or rigid?
Yes, rigid. Yes. I'm sorry. The IEP is more rigid. The 504 is not as detailed as what the impression I have been under. So their school, his school gave me what they called a support plan. I did not know this at the time, but a support plan is not a legalized form or plan like a 504 or an IEP.
Are you looking for a comprehensive homeschooling solution? It can be so confusing out there, especially when you're just getting started. My Homeschool Village has got you covered. They provide everything you need to homeschool successfully, including customizable lesson plans, interactive curriculum materials, and a community of experienced homeschoolers to help guide you along the way. Check out my episode with Becky, co-creator of My Homeschool Village. The episode is called Why It Takes a Village: Learn the Secrets to Homeschooling from a Mom Who Started 20 Years Ago. And that was aired on May 5th, 2023. With their easy-to-use platform, you'll have access to a wealth of resources and support to ensure your homeschooling journey is a success. Join My Homeschool Village today at myhomeschoolvillage.com and discover how easy and rewarding homeschooling can be. Use code HOW250 to get 50% off of your first year if you sign up now. That's H-O-W with the numbers 250. HOW250. And you can check that out with the link and the code right in my show's description.
It was the basic of the basics in this plan. So we followed that plan. You know, we put him in kindergarten again. COVID hit in the middle of his kindergarten. We did, you know, the whole virtual thing. I did end up sending him back to school. I finally had called his social worker through the school and I said, I am demanding that you give him a 504. But ironically, their 504 was basically their support plan that they just moved into a 504 format. It was literally all of the same words, the same interventions. It was nonsense, to put it politely.
And is this the same school that told you there's nothing more we can do for him?
Yep. Same.
But they kept him there anyway.
Yes.
Like, he finished out the year there and did first grade there?
So we did first grade through virtual. Yes. I kept him home.
Oh, right.
During
because
virtual.
It was part of COVID.
Yes.
Gotcha. Did you see any difference in his behavior being home due to the separation anxiety he had you there?
Oh, yes.
Him?
Yes. When he was home, the whole video thing for COVID with the virtual, he was not a fan. He couldn't stand it, but he wasn't he's more relaxed at home. He's comfortable. His anxiety wasn't, you know, bad. He did have a tough time.
Well, and I would imagine too, other children just being loud, making noises that might have bothered him in the classroom too, where being home, it's his the noises that he's used to.
Yeah. And the virtual, you know, it did aggravate him. The teacher insisted that they had the cameras on, which, I mean, I understand, but, you know, he does have, he has a lot of self, I'm not sure how to, like, put it, but he, you know, when kids with ADHD, yes, they're very insecure, they talk down about themselves a lot, so he didn't like looking at himself, you know, and he didn't want his camera on. It was a lot for him, too, like, with his eyes. He didn't want to try focusing on all these pictures and, you know, that was like a whole thing. So sent him back to school after, you know, they kind of like loosened up on the protocols.
Restrictions.
For COVID. Yeah. Finished out second grade. They did put him in an inclusion class. So their inclusion class at his school is similar to a special education class. But I found out actually a couple months ago that our district does not have a special education classroom for any grades. They don't do special education classrooms, which I did not know when we, you know, we bought our house in our district for this school specifically. I didn't know that in the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Well, and that's something to think about when you're thinking, oh, do I homeschool or not? Like, we picked this house, which a lot of people do for the school district, but the good schools, the schools are great. And it's like, so I can understand how you're like, well, no, I'm not going to keep them home. This is why we moved here.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's another like thing back when you're looking back, that's super ironic. Like, we moved here and we've literally been through hell with this district start to finish. Finished yet, but start to now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the irony in that. Now, second grade, the inclusion class, he starts third grade this past September. I had no idea that they put him back in mainstream classroom.
And they didn't tell you?
Nobody had said a word. I had no clue. So I kept seeing his papers come home in his folder, in the scores, I'm telling, it was heartbreaking. Like, I would open his folder and I would cry because I'm like, something is not right there. You know, it was like 2 out of 13, 0 out of 10. Like, I'm talking heartbreaking scores. And I'm like, this isn't right. This is not right.
And this whole time you think he's in an inclusion class with kids with similar issues and a smaller classroom.
Well, I don't see, that's the other thing about his school too, is there aren't smaller classrooms. They all have the inclusion. Last year he had 26 kids in his class.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. When he started in the mainstream classroom, he had 24. So I'll finish this story because he is in a different classroom now. They have 19 kids. So I guess a little bit smaller, but I think that's as small as they get.
I don't know. I have 2 children of my own and I can't keep, it's so hard to keep them alive all the time.
Yes.
So I can't even imagine a teacher, like these poor teachers.
So I had went in to meet with his teacher in November and I had said to her, and you know, God bless her. I have to say this because the teachers that I had dealt with from this year, but prior to this year, I felt like I might as well have just been talking to brick walls. I went in and I spoke with his teacher and I said, listen, I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, but he needs to be in special education. She literally threw up her hands and she was like, thank you. So there must have been discussions, you know, prior that I was not aware of, but she threw up her hands and she said, thank you. She goes, we are on the same page. And she's like, you know, I went back. She's like, and I pulled his file because I didn't understand why he's in my classroom. This is the teacher. Did not understand why he was in her classroom. She was like, you know.
Which goes with what my friend says about the kids that they place in her classroom. She's like, they don't belong here.
Yeah. So she was the one that, you know, she had the paperwork ready. And she says to me, will you sign to get him tested? Now, this is the same test that they tested that I asked for back in kindergarten. This was this test again. And I said, yes, please give me the paper. We were on the same page. We got the ball rolling to get him retested. I had found out after that testing came back that his scores, IQ testing scores, were 1 to 2 points higher than the test that he had in kindergarten. And back in kindergarten, he automatically qualified for an IEP. And that is what they would not give me.
And nobody told you.
Nope. And I did not know that.
Was there a reason? It was just the funding? They didn't, you don't pay the taxes?
I could not tell you their reason.
More paperwork for them, maybe?
It's definitely more paperwork for them. But I did find out, too, one of the teachers had mentioned to me during this process after of him getting tested and him moving into a different classroom, she said that they like to wait till they're behind 2 years before they do anything about it. Those exact words.
And now you were telling me, you were giving me advice about things I could do with my son for learning to read and this, and you had sent me videos of and all these arts and crafts that you did with him on letters and this and that. So you're somebody that was working a ton with him at home too.
Yes.
So how, imagine if he got the help that he really needed to thrive alongside with you doing all this stuff at home. I mean, it's just so heartbreaking. And the frustration he must have been going through thinking, oh, I can't get this stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. And it's just because they weren't giving him the help that he needed.
Yeah. So the other thing is, too, in a kindergarten, they had started pulling him for speech therapy. They pulled him for physical therapy, occupational therapy. And in my mind at the time, the insecure me, the one that, you know, had no confidence in herself as a parent, I'm thinking to myself, if I did keep him home, how would I provide all of those services that he needs? Like,
yes.
I am not yes, I could do the physical therapy. Yes, I could do the occupational things. Like, we were doing things like that. You know, I used to make, before I knew what a sensory bin was, I was making sensory bins without knowing that that's what they were called.
Correct. Yes.
You know, I was having him put like those little craft sticks into water bottles, like for the hand functions, because I could see all these things that I knew weren't developing as, you know, quote unquote, they should be. But at the time, I was not confident enough to take the time to even figure out how would I provide these services. Back to what I said in the beginning when I said to
And
myself and
I
my
believed someone local that is probably homeschooling, she said that you still are qualify for those services as a homeschooler through the district. They have to send them to your
Oh,
house.
see, I did not know that. That's
Well, I mean, I would check into that, but I know her son is in a
right.
couple different therapies and they go to her.
Right.
Now, I did call my school district and asked for a phone number to talk with someone about his speech, and I never got a call back.
That
So,
does not surprise me. Knowing what I know now,
yeah.
that does not surprise me. So yeah, like I just when I said in my in the beginning, you know, I'm only going to homeschool. If I did homeschool, I would only homeschool till second grade, and that's because I am not book smart. I literally slid my teeth to even graduate high school. I am very street smart, but I am not book smart. So making sure that he knew what he needed to know made me feel like I can't do this. I don't have enough confidence to
Yeah,
do this. There's no
I think
way.
that's common.
Yeah, I'm thinking to
That's
myself, like,
common with all of us.
yeah, like there's no way that I can teach him the correct sounds. And this word sounds like this because, or it makes this word because of the sound. Like I'm thinking, I don't have the confidence to do that. So yeah, those are things that really held me back. But I do have to say, so from that last testing, he is in a better classroom. His teachers, I just adore them. They are not like anything I have encountered so far. They care a lot more than what I've encountered. The communication is nothing like I have had prior to this year. They are absolutely amazing.
And he has more than one teacher in his class of
He
19.
does. He has his main teacher, and then he has a special education slash also his case manager in the room. He also goes to, so his class and one other class are both inclusion classes. They switch for reading, so he does have a different, I'm sorry, reading and math. So he does have a different math teacher. He goes to a completely different classroom for math. He also gets pulled out now, and it is in his IEP that he gets pulled out for AIS for extra help for math, for extra help for reading. He gets pulled out for those. And that's in his plan now, which I didn't know was not in his 504 plan. And it should have been. I did not know that.
Right, 'cause you don't know what's even available. You don't work there.
Not only that, I had found out because when I, in the beginning of this year, when I was seeing these low test scores coming home and these papers, you know, that were heartbreaking, I had scheduled a private conference. I didn't want to go to like just the everyday 15-minute conference with his AIS math teacher. So I set aside a, you know, I set up a different time to go. And I said to her, I asked her straight out, I said, why was he not coming to extra math help last year? I said, I don't feel like we would be this far behind if he was seeing you last year. Cheryl, my mouth literally just dropped when she answered, well, when I went to test him, he was on the border, and his teacher decided that we would just keep an eye on him.
Wow.
Like,
I mean,
I literally
if he's
sat
on the
there.
border, let's help him
Right,
now.
right. Like, and who, not only that, who is she to decide by herself that that was appropriate? Like,
100%.
why wasn't I given a phone
100%. You
call?
should have been called in. Yes.
Not only
What
that,
would you like for him? Would you like to work with him in these areas? Would you like him in extra help? You know,
right. Not
wow.
only that, but the AIS teacher, why didn't she speak up and say, okay, yes, he is on the border, but I feel like he's not going to stay on the border. Or I feel like if we keep him here, he's going to fall behind. Or just, I don't know. There's not enough advocating. There's a lot of, I feel
Right.
like passing the buck, for sure.
Yes.
I have encountered that a lot. And I'll tell you, I know I said it once, but I'm going to say it again. I really became a stronger parent because of the crap that I have had to go through and learning how to advocate for him. And I'm still learning. There's a lot of things I don't know, but it's a fight, and it's a hard fight.
And I'm sure there's a lot of parents out there that don't put in half the effort into their child that might need these extra services. So when you have a parent that wants the proper help, I mean, I would think that the parents would be the obstacle in the way, right? Like, no, he's fine. She's fine. It's, you know, she's just got to mature a little bit. You know, they don't want to come to terms with their child needing something extra. And I totally understand that. But here you are saying, please get them in the right places. And they're the obstacles in the way. I don't understand. And so this is what you're paying tax dollars for. This is what they're going to, you know, getting, they need a master's degree and all this stuff to just say, yeah, put them in some extra help. And they're not even doing that properly. That's really unfortunate.
It's so funny that you say that, because when he did switch classes, I scheduled a separate meeting to meet with the new teachers in the classroom because I wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was in the know, like, what are you expecting? What am I expecting? Like, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what you might be seeing in the future. And when I walked out of that meeting, it was 45 minutes long. The special education teacher, she walked me out and she said to me, I want to thank you for advocating.
Last night we read book number one in the Tuttle Twins series, Learn About the Law. I only recommend things to my listeners that I actually use myself. And we read the Tuttle Twins books all the time. I did that well before I had a podcast, and I will continue doing that as they get older. The concepts that they learn in these books on their level is invaluable. I asked the Tuttle Twins to partner with me to give my listeners 40% off for the products ages 5 through 11 because I believe these values are important. Use my link, tuttletwins.com/REF/CHERYL, with coupon code Cheryl40, that's CHERYL, the number 4 and 0, to get 40% off all products for ages 5 through 11. If you get the combo pack like I have, which is 13 books, that's $105 value for $63, plus printable workbooks with activities to go along with each book. TuttleTwins.com/REF/CHERYL and put in my coupon code CHERYL40 for 40% off.
She said, you would not believe how many parents I try to help, but they fight against us and they won't allow us to help.
Wow. And I believe it. You know, it's hard with how society has it set up today, too. I mean, parents are working multiple jobs, especially if you're a single parent. Even if you want the services, the father might not, or the mother might not want them. And here you guys are on the same page with your child and the school is fighting against them.
Yep.
I mean, I think, you know, whatever you decide in the future, I think that if there's so many resources out there for homeschooling, I was just talking to someone, a woman last night, her 9th grade son does a program called Keystone, the Keystone School. And it is entirely online, K through 12. And he can pick in the beginning of the year what classes he wants to do. You know, it does cost a tuition to do it, but it wouldn't be much different than sending them to private school. And, you know, he can do them at his leisure throughout the year. He gets like 365 days or something to complete them. And he gets to pick what courses he wants. And so, you know, that is it, because she's a working mom and she's like, I don't have the time to sit with them and do that stuff. So there are other resources out there among other. There's a ton of them, but that was just one that she happened to be talking to me about last night, because I, you know, agree with you. What if there's things that I don't know how to get my son into, and I'm supposed to teach you about science and math and, you know, trigonometry?
Right? I mean, I had a friend doing my homework.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Cheating on the Regents exams. Jeez, my poor friend.
Yeah.
They're like scratching her head on the French Regents if it was A, and scratching her neck if it was B. And I ended up getting a better score than her. I felt so bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I guess that's resourcefulness. That's what we learned in school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing else.
I traded my,
oh, my
friend
goodness.
Rides to school for her to do my homework.
See, we learned resourcefulness.
Yeah.
So is your son doing better now? Have you seen a dramatic increase?
I've seen an increase. And I think a lot of that has come from his confidence. You know, when he started this beginning of the year in September, he was coming home. They have snack time. He was coming home with his snack not eaten. And I kept saying to him, and my boy eats. He does not go hungry. And I kept saying to him, why aren't you eating your snack? And it broke my heart because he said to me, if I don't finish the work during snack time, then I have to bring it home. And I don't want to bring it home because I don't want to do homework. So for him, he was stressing out so bad that he was finishing his work when he was supposed to be having a snack to keep his brain fuel going. But he could see that he was falling behind and that the kids in that class were way ahead of him. And that's the other thing, too. He came home one time. This was when he was still in the mainstream third grade. He came home and he kept saying, well, so-and-so, you know, they were doing multiplication. He was like, so-and-so is, like, already on their sevens, and I can't even get my twos. And if you get to your 12s, the people that get to their 12s the fastest get to have a pizza party. I'm never going to be able to be in that pizza party because I'm never going to get to my 12s. And, like, it was just, it was heartbreaking. And so the confidence... The confidence level from that mainstream class to now is amazing. When I had his IEP meeting last week, his teachers were saying that he actually helps other kids with their multiplication facts now because he feels so much more confident.
That is heartbreaking, but also amazing that you get to see that difference and know that it's nothing that you were doing wrong, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you think about the kids that are, you know, just stuck in those mainstream classrooms and going home at night and feeling this way about themselves, and then, you know, and then you got social media on top of all that and bullying, and I get it. I get why the world is kind of like,
yeah,
crazy as it is right now. It is heartbreaking.
It is. It really is.
I'm glad. I'm so glad that he is doing better and seems to be thriving in this. Now, is he in a classroom with kids of different ages?
Nope. So they're all nine. Well, some of them just turned nine to 10. So they're all on the same level, like educational wise. So
this class existed in your school where you are. It existed.
Yep.
And you still couldn't get him into, like, they're not bussing him to a different area.
Nope.
Or they're not
Nope.
paying an additional teacher to come in just for him. This Nope. is, this existed. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
This
and
was just
ironically,
down the hall. We just don't want to put him in it where he Yep. would do well.
Ironically, it was right across the hall Mm-hmm. from the class that he was in. And, you know, this is another thing too. So on that IEP meeting, I got very upset during the IEP meeting because I don't know if, you know, your listeners, if you've ever listened to an IEP meeting, it is heartbreaking because it's other people. Now, too, by the way, after COVID, I should mention everything for these meetings is all Zoom. So you're doing it from your house. They're all in their offices or classrooms or wherever. They basically are reading your child's IQ numbers. They're reading, you know, off what they had seen during the testing. They're nice word, I guess, would say non-strengths. They would list off what their strengths were. But, you know, if you're in an IEP meeting, you have a lot less non-strengths than you do strengths because you need that extra help. So sitting there listening to the IEP meeting is heartbreaking. So by the time it was almost over, I was internally extremely upset. You know, these people can all see my face. I was trying so hard. I could feel the lump in my throat several times trying not to cry. And I had already read the paperwork previously. I had gotten it in the mail and I read it. And that was hard alone. But at least I was in the privacy of my own home getting upset, not having six other eyes on me, you know, the whole time during the meeting. So anyway, at the end of the meeting, they said to me, do you have any questions or concerns that you want to express? And it took everything I had in me to find nice words to say to them, you know, and I did. I even expressed how I was having a hard time finding nice words, I had said, now that he has this IEP, are you going to throw him in a mainstream classroom again? Like, is this something I have to worry about from here on out? Because I shouldn't. And I know that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted them to know that I am aware now and I don't want this to happen again. And the response I got was, no, this won't happen again. And at the end of the year, two teachers, which, by the way, he did have two teachers last year, two teachers sit down and they decide what classroom a child should go in the following year. And it took everything I had to hold back and say, then what happened? What happened right. last year when you had his teacher from his inclusion classroom and the special education teacher from that same classroom? What happened when they sat down and said, okay, let's decide where Max should go. Let's throw Max back in mainstream class. What happened? Why?
Right.
So
either they weren't paying attention to him or there are other things behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Right.
Paperwork or funding sources if you have a certain amount of, I don't know.
That's the thing. I don't know. Like, I would never pretend to know all these things that I still haven't learned yet. But yeah. So apparently that's how they decide, the school district in particular. They decide where kids should go. Two of them decide, you know, this child should go here and this child should go here. So,
well, I would like to commend you on your fantastic parenting and fighting for, I mean, if you didn't do this now, think, where would your son be at fifth grade,
right.
at eighth grade, and 12th grade? You know, you're doing so above and beyond what a parent should have to when we think about enrolling them into school with these professionals that go get master's degrees and, you know, whatever other degrees. We are assuming that they are going to do the right things, especially when our tax dollars go to pay for the services that the school should be providing. So, I mean, you've done an amazing job, and I hope that you know that. And if you ever did decide to homeschool, I hope that you have the confidence to say, no, nobody cares about my child the way I do. So it doesn't matter what you knew book-wise. Everything is just a click of a button away, or, you know, a curriculum away.
Yeah. Oh, no, I definitely have the confidence. If I did, I've said it to my husband several times, especially since COVID. I mean, I don't know how your listeners feel, but I know how you feel, and I feel the same way. So since COVID, I told my husband, I said, if something ever comes up again, I said, we will be homeschooling and I will not be taking outside opinions. That's the bottom yeah. line. We will be homeschooling. Sometimes, and that's that. Just,
you live and learn.
Yeah.
And we just all kind of go. And the thing is, we'll never know if we made the right decision or not, right? Because
yeah.
all you have is the information in front of you.
Yeah.
But you definitely have made the right choices with doing all you can to get him into the right classrooms and getting the right sort of help. I can't believe the hoops that you had to jump through just to do that. And we're not talking about like a New York City school or anything where there's millions of kids coming in and out. You're, you know, in a smaller area, and you would think that
yeah.
the classroom was in the building. That's what I can't fathom. It was there. They're not even taking the extra steps to bus them somewhere else.
Nope.
I mean, thank you so much for sharing this story with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
I know that this will resonate with parents, and you know, people will either feel confident to call their schools, advocate, or, you know, whatever they decide. But at least they know they're not alone. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. If I could say one last thing, I would definitely say, absolutely. Just listen to your gut, no matter what, no matter how insecure you feel, because if I did, I would have done things so differently. And don't let outside sources, even if it's your husband, because one of mine was my husband, don't let them deter you from doing what you know and what you feel is right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can't even blame them because they only know the information that they're given. There's so many situations where people say things to me and it's like, do I want to get into this whole thing? Because I felt that way before too. And the more I'm learning, you know, it's people say things because they're regurgitating what they've heard. But you don't know if what they've heard is truth or fear tactics, you know?
Yes.
And until you've actually done it, and or talk to people that have done it and really know both sides, that's when you make, you know, the informed decision. And that goes for so many different things.
Yeah.
But it's like we so easily, oh my gosh, they're not going to be socialized. Okay, well, how much research have you done on the topic? And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking of like four different things that you could say that for, you know?
Yeah.
How much? And so that's what I'm going to start saying to people now. Okay, well, how much research have you done?
No,
we can discuss it.
I don't even homeschool, and I listen to every episode that you have posted so far, and they are so informational. The wealth of knowledge that the parents that you have had on is just, it blows my mind.
Yes. I don't know where they came from. Some divine power placed them right in my inbox saying, I would like to be on. It's amazing.
Yeah. I've loved all of them. So
it is amazing, and I hope it helps parents.
I definitely think it is.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you for reaching out and for sharing your story.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.